Marva talked a little bit about people working at the church. About 9 years ago, Margaret and I were looking for a church, and the first time we came here, we saw Bob Nelson. Bob Nelson made us feel so comfortable and so friendly that we came back again and again. We saw his wife Sandy at Fry's, and she knew us and recognized us, and that made us feel pretty good. We had found our church. Then I met Al Levitt. Al got me working. He started me to do different things around the church. But that man, one of the things we did is we tore down a fence at a nursery, and the fence was put up all the way around our property here. That was a few years ago. But Al is one of the people that keeps this church running. I think he's here, 30 to 40 hours a week. And he is really a great man. I think he deserves. The scriptures for today are four verses. The first one I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and despicably wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Proverbs 22:7. Just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant to the lender. Luke 12, verse 1. Then he said, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. James 1, verse 17. Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heaven. He never charges or casts a shifting shadow. The Word of God for the people of God.
Notre Dame, I really didn't mean anything by mentioning that score. Ray mentioned all of the things that Al does at the church, and he does a lot of things, but one of the things that he did for me was he proved to me that Jesus Christ was here, is here. One day he was in one of the storage areas working, and I was walking by and I heard him say, Jesus Christ! If you know Al, you know what I'm talking about. Let us pray. Father God, please help me to use the words and the concepts you help me find to have some meaning to this Christian family. Help the experiences that I'm going to share with them hopefully will generate something in their mind for them to begin to realize why there's only one set of footprints on the beach. We're both there, but God's got us on our back, on his back. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about enemies of the heart. This scripture that Ray just read, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Jeremiah 17:9. The ideas and the concepts that I'm going to share with you this morning are from a book called Enemies of the Heart, written by Andy Stanley. And I need to tell you right out front that the heart that I'm about to talk about isn't this one. It's the heart that philosophers, poets, preachers, and Frank Sinatra talked about. You gotta have heart. It's that part of me that was crushed when I saw Joanne Sheets kissing Fred Fuse on her back porch when we were all in the eighth grade. I'm not sure I ever got over that. It's that part of me that swelled with pride when I was told my youngest son was MVP of his high school track and basketball team. It was that part of me that felt so good when my middle son called and said, "Dad, I've been hired as the head basketball coach at Hartnell College in California." But even more important than that, it was that part of my heart that felt so good when my oldest son, after 20 years of swimming upstream, found a job. And 20 years later, he's still working at a full-time job. That's the heart I'm talking about. In short, it's that mysterious, wonderful, confusing part of you that enables you to love, laugh, fear, and experience life. It's where relationships are made and where relationships are broken. Now that I've tried to establish what it is I'm going to talk about, the enemies of the heart and our emotional part, and I've titled it The Dynamic Debt. It's these debts that will destroy our lives if we don't become better at controlling them and taking care of them. As we know, cholesterol, triglycerides, and hypertension can damage the human heart. But there are four other enemies that are far stronger than those. They're stronger than the four horsemen that Grantland Rice wrote about and called when he was talking about the offensive backfield of Notre Dame in 1924-25. It's stronger than the blocks of granite that shored up Fordham's line when Vince Lombardi played there. It's four drones aimed right at us if we can't figure out how to handle it. And those enemies are guilt, I owe you, anger, you owe me, greed, I owe me, and jealousy, God owes me. Guilt, anger, greed, and jealousy. They're so powerful, they'll destroy us if we don't learn how to handle them. And they have so much power in the dark. And I'm hoping to show you today that when they see the light of day, they're handleable. Everyone knows, let me talk about guilt first, I owe you. Everyone knows personal debt brings bad decisions after bad decisions. And the debt created by guilt is just as hard and just as bad. And in many cases, just as hard to pay off. The guilt that I experienced was caused partially by my ambition. For the first 18 years, we changed jobs every 4 years. New state, new area, new circumstances. The scenario went something like this. I would go home and tell Pat, "I've got an interview, we might be moving. Pat, I got the job, we're moving." And the scenario went something like this. She would call the boys together and say, "Dad's going to take us all to Disneyland." And the boys would say, "Yeah, he's got another job." That was the bribe. Pat adjusted well. She would see that the kids finished school. She would pack. She would see that the house was sold. And eventually she and the kids would catch up to me. Because any of you that change jobs a lot know that you had to get there early to get started. The two younger boys adjusted well. They were academically sound and they both were athletes. Changing programs when you're a junior in high school isn't the easiest thing to do. But Andy adjusted and the young man adjusted as well. The one that didn't adjust was my oldest son. He never did quite adjust. Proverbs 22:7. The borrower is the slave to the lender. And in this case, I was the borrower. And I always told them, this is for the good of the family, but that wasn't true. I wanted that top job so badly I could taste it. The second horseman is anger. You owe me. We have to be careful with this, or before long we'll think everybody owes us. This is when you were supposed to get something you deserved and you didn't get. My anger was in the fall of 1992. After 15 years in that top spot I so desperately wanted, I told the board in 1991, I'm retiring. When I had been at the top of the wave, and I wasn't then, we had negotiated a contract that said I had a perpetual contract, and when I didn't want them and they didn't want me, I would go on the staff as a full-time teacher. And I always taught one class, and I loved to teach, and I was really excited. I'd been in the top job for 15 years, and it was stale. The board and I decided that they would, without my help, after 15 years, I'd hope they had enough, to hire the new man, and they did that. I'm not positive of how good a job they did because they hired a man that was older than I was, and he had never been president. And I went away for 6 months on full pay to let the man get his feet wet. I came back in the fall of 1992, eager to teach history. The first day he called me into his office, my office, and said, you want to know something, Marv? And for 15 years, and this sounds like I'm bragging, but I'm not really, the name of the college and my name were synonymous. And he told me, Marv, nobody likes you around here. Nobody wants you. We all want you to leave. Man, I could hardly breathe. I felt like I was getting kicked right in the groin. Well, I said, I'm sorry, I got a contract. No, he says, it's not valid. So I hired a lawyer, and he proved that it was valid and that I could stay as long as I wanted teaching history. And as soon as that came out, I wrote a letter of resignation. And I said, you can use this anytime you think I'm not supporting you. Give it to the press, and I'm gone. He never used it, but he never trusted me. He was never comfortable with me. I swear to God, I think he was afraid of me, if you can be afraid of a fat 5'8" old man. And after 5 years, I gave up and retired for good. But I filled that man's office with scripture, telling him how I had forgiven him. And I felt good, but apparently he didn't. Greed. I owe me. Greedy folks have believe they deserve every good thing that comes their way. I've got it and I've earned it and it's mine. Because of this, it is very difficult to get a greedy person to part with money and stuff. Greed is different than the other enemies because it disguises itself. We tend to say, thank God we don't struggle with this. We tell ourselves we may harbor some guilt and occasionally an angry outburst, but we're certainly not greedy. Greed is easy to hide from ourselves, but the people around us know who the greedy people are. Greedy people talk a lot about and worry about money and stuff. They're not cheerful givers. They're poor losers. They have a running game of anger going with Mexican train or whatever you call it. And a greedy person won't let you forget what he's done for you. But I'll tell you something, in my opinion, and it may surprise you, greed is not a financial issue. It's a heart issue. Financial gain doesn't make people less greedy because it comes from the heart. I ask you to consider this, Luke 12:15. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist of an abundance of possessions. When trying to deal with greed, yours or theirs, fear, in my opinion, is the driving force behind greed. The greed I want to share with you is, surprisingly enough, with my parents. 78 years ago today, I was born. Thank you. And I was born in the basement of a friend of my father's house. It was 1935. There were two other kids by that time. Why they were still having kids in that condition, I don't know. But there were two, thank God they were. There were an older brother and older sister, and we were in a borrowed basement. 13 years later, in 1948, I got a job shining shoes at Nick's Shoe Repair Shop. And I shined shoes from 1948 to 1953. Monday through Thursday, we closed at 6, Friday at 9, and Saturday at 9. Starting in 1948, I paid $20 a month room and board. Bought all my own clothes and most of my meals. At a greasy spoon down in the corner, a refurbished railroad car. My brother and sister, older brother and sister, were doing the same thing. And then I found out that all my buddies weren't doing that. That's why they were driving cars and motorcycles. And that was hurtful. You know what? It was many years later when it dawned on me, they were afraid of going back to that basement. Fear causes greed. Jealousy. God owes us. You look at all those people that have all those neat things that you want. It's not their fault. God's the one that created the desires in us. You need to look at Him. Look toward Him. You don't want the neighbor's brand new Cadillac. You'd like one like it. You need to look toward God for the things that you want or think you need and don't have. The thing, I hope I can get through this. The thing that I don't have and want is health. Two or three years ago, my wife's and I health went to hell in the handbasket. I look at the golfers I play with, I look at a lot of you guys. I look at my older brother, and he has good health. Why don't we? I don't know. But I do know three things. Maybe four. It wasn't God that caused it. And as sure as I'm standing here before you, something in the future, unseen right now, going to happen positively for us. We have been forgiven and been promised eternal life. So the very best days of our life are where? In front of us. Do any of you, I'm sure you don't, get a good feeling when somebody that has something that you don't have and want has trouble? Have you ever gotten up some Sunday morning and looked at the neighbor's driveway and discovered his new Cadillac had a flat tire and felt good about it? None of us. None of us. Okay. If you think you have any of these enemies of the heart, I would be remiss if I didn't try to finish up with some way that you can handle these enemies of the heart. Remember what Montaigne said, what I said earlier? Now, I got this from a biography of Thomas Jefferson when he was writing a letter to his very best bud, James Madison, about his political enemy, Alexander Hamilton. And he said, ignorance is the softest pillow man has to lay his head on. Guilt. IOU. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This sounds too good to be true. We mess up, God forgives us, and we can move on. It's easy. Just try it. Well, it's not quite that easy. Numbers 5, 6, and 7 say, anyone wronged with another must make restitution for the wrong they've committed against another. So in order to get that anger up to the light of day, you need to confess and make restitution. The guilt. Now we move to anger. You owe me. In guilt, you need to confess. In anger, you need to forgive. Ephesians 4:31. Get rid of all the bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. And that ends with, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Greed. I owe me. Greed is, I said earlier, in my opinion, fueled by fear. But you must remember there is never, ever enough. Luke 12:20, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who gets what you have prepared for yourself? All those new barns that were filled aren't going to do you a bit of good. God's solution is not more stuff, but develop a very simple habit. Be blessed with what you have and be generous with what you have. Jealousy, God owes me. Every one of the four invaders of the heart are fueled by the notion that somebody owes somebody something. This concept is what gives these monsters the power. Guilt, say, I owe you. A solution and confession is the solution. Anger, you owe me, so the solution is forgiveness. Greed is I owe me, and the solution is generous giving and feeling blessed with what you have. Jealousy, God owes me. Others have what you want, and that feeling begs the question, what do you do with those feelings and desires that can never be fully satisfied? James says, take them to the one that created them in the first place. You might not have what you want because you're looking toward the wrong person. Look toward God. Think about this. Who created the desires within you? Not the guy you're jealous of. God. Confess to God you're not getting your way. Once you have dumped your desires and anxieties on Him, it should be easier to deal with the people in your life. Regardless if they ever give you the recognition, the love, the credit that you deserve. You should find peace because you're no longer looking at these people to meet the needs that God hasn't met. Remember, More happiness is there for us to grab onto if we can deal effectively with these gigantic demons that affect our heart. Guilt, I confess. Anger, I forgive. Greed, I am blessed. Jealousy, not you, but God, need to be contacted. Brothers and sisters, peace and happiness can belong to all of us if we can get better at looking in the right places. Let us pray.